daughters that Reuven gave to his mother Leah, and the story that's recounted in the Chumash. So he came with a flag with the flowers on it and the mandrakes, and he came not as a beggar, but he came as a nobleman. He came in glittering clothes. He came with a bejeweled sword. He came with a perfumed beard. He came as an equal. He came as a prince. And he said that he was a prince from the tribe of Reuven, and that Reuven had this territory west of the Sambatyon, and that they lived an idyllic life there, and that they're all ready for the time of the Messiah. And he intimated that the time of the Messiah is nigh. It's on the way, it's right here. And that his appearance at this time was part of the Messianic movement, part of the Messianic age. To prove that he was part of the Messianic age, he appealed for money, which is always by Jews a symbol of, right, the time of the Messiah, right? And Jews believed in him. They believed in him. Hundreds, thousands of Jews believed in him. And he did a great deal for Jewish pride, because he rode through the streets of the main cities of Europe dressed in a manner that no other Jew could dress in. And he was accepted at the courts of kings. He even received an audience with the Pope. And the Pope was not quite sure. Maybe he was. And generally speaking, he cut quite a figure. He cut a wide swath throughout Europe. He kept it going for about 10 years. But then he overdid it. Just as we'll see later, the most famous and notorious of the false messiahs, Shabtai Tzvi, also overdoes it. What happens is that you begin to believe it. You see, that's, you know, what starts as a good, you know, as what starts as a good joke, as a Purim prank, after a while you believe it. And when you start to believe it, then destruction is just around the corner. There are people who can take it. There are people who can't. I read in today's Times a dispute between a divorce between a husband and a wife, and he's a doctor. So she said, you know, I knew him when he was so-and-so, and now he's doctor, you know. He's doctor. He's God, right? So he believes that he's doctor. Well, there's a great deal of truth to that. That's... you know, the boys in the yeshiva think that if they speak to you in third person, then, you know, that becomes, so somebody comes up to me, he says, can I speak to the Rosh Yeshiva? So I say, well, why don't you ask him? Because after a period of time, you believe, you know, if you let people speak to you in third person after a period of time, you know, you'll pick up the phone and somebody will say, you'll say the Rosh Yeshiva isn't home. Or he's in the Rosh Yeshiva's busy. You believe you'll talk about yourself in third person. You know, the Cardinal of New York can no longer say I. He doesn't say I anymore, right? After a while, it's, you know, no longer, you lose yourself. And that's what happens to poor David Reuveni. He had a good deal going, and he overstretched it. During the time of the Inquisition, the expulsion of the Jews from Portugal in 1496, for the next 30 years, the church and the kings of Portugal were far more fanatical even than the rulers of Spain. Portugal became the center of the Inquisition. So he took it upon himself that he was going to have a conference with the king of Portugal to explain it to him. And when he went to Portugal, the king arrested him and put him in the dungeon. The king didn't know that he was David Reuveni. The king just saw him, you know, as an upstart, smart-aleck, infidel Jew that was making trouble.